Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, you can text him in right now to 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So, do we have resolution with Aaron Rodgers? This is an interesting story that they are closing in on terms and an agreement that will bring him to training camp, that will have him in uniform for the Packers for at least this season, and then it sounds like it would set them up to trade him next offseason. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, no, just a matter of getting a contract done and getting all the particulars in there so that, because again, he doesn't trust management there. And so they've got to make sure, you know, because they're voiding out the third year of his contract and saying that they're not going to put a franchise tag. But now it's a matter how they structure it, whether it's saying, okay, you have a no trade clause, so we will trade you. But also it's like you get to pick kind of where you want to go. And so they have to kind of phrase it that way. And so it looks to me like he's going to, I don't know if he's going to be there tomorrow because I don't know if they can get the language done, but I think that he realizes that, you know, if he doesn't report, they're not going to trade him. But now I think he realizes that, like, okay, I'll stick it out this year. This will be my last year in Green Bay, and then I'm going someplace else next year. So I think that you can see how that's all heading, and that's why he's heading in. But then what this does mean, this is the last hurrah for the Green Bay Packers, just from the standpoint that, you know, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there next year, I doubt that Davante Adams is going to be there next year because they're close now. And not that they're going to go to the same team. That probably wouldn't happen. But I think that you can see he's going to leave because he's a free agent. We don't know about David Bakhtiari, the left tackle. His contract has voids in it, so he's not going to probably be there. And so it looks like they're going to have to go into a rebuilding program and start to see about the love they have for Jordan Love.
Well, and you brought up, you know, last hurrah. And Dave and I were just talking about the idea that we often see in all sports, you know, somebody who says, hey, this is it for me. This will be my final season. So that becomes their kind of farewell tour. I can't recall in any other sport where somebody said, yep, I'm still going to be playing. I still have career in front of me. I'm just not going to be playing for this team after this season.
Well, I mean, it wasn't open because we didn't know about it until the end. But I guess, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick kind of got into that feel in the last 2 years he was in New England that, you know, after the 2 years where he didn't go to the mini camp or didn't go to the offseason program and just only went to the mini camp, that he was going to leave and go someplace else. And he ended up going to Tampa Bay. So I think you see a little bit of it. I mean, you kind of saw it with Brett Favre, you know, threatened retirement for 2 straight years. Ed Warder had to stand outside his house all the time for 2 years and giving updates like that. And so it's like, and then finally they traded him to the New York Jets. And so now we'll see. I think that they still want to set it up because, you know, they have to go into a rebuilding mode if he's gone and Adams is gone and all those different things. And also there's other things that might be in the contract too. Now, I don't know if indeed they put this clause in there, but one of the people were starting to say that, you know, he wants them to pick up Randall Cobb in a trade and bring him back to Green Bay so he has an extra receiver to work with and so he can try to make it the best possible way. So I don't think they can put that in there because that would be a little bit too much, because if they can't get a trade, then what is it, contract void or anything of that nature? So, yeah, it's kind of a tricky thing, but I think that, I mean, he's going to get things that he wants. They'll get him this year, and that'll be it.
Do I remember this correctly? Did Jordan Love not suit up for any games last year?
I don't think he did. No.
I thought that was the thing. Boy, that puts them in a really tough spot. And especially, it's one thing if you're going from a mediocre quarterback to, you know, an unknown. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has done it for so long. I wonder how much longer he'll play. But, man, Jordan Love, you talk about an incomplete. As far as giving out grades, we're giving out grades with our rookies earlier in the year, John. You got nothing for him.
Nothing.
You have no idea. I mean, I'm sure they've seen him in practice, and that's the one thing that we don't get to see. But it just seems like they have a long ways to fall.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. And so you can see that it's a very bad situation. But, hey, the front office screwed this up. I mean, I think that Aaron Rodgers wanted to play 3 or 4 more years. And so it's like he probably wanted a little bit of a contract extension to be able to stay. But then, of course, once Love came in, I mean, and him having gone through it back in 2005 when he was drafted, And Favre kind of knowing it's like, I'm out of here in a year or two, you know, because here's Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to waste a first-round pick on Rodgers and not let him get the job. And sure enough, after 2 years, you know, they gave him the job. And so Aaron's kind of taking the same way approach, too. It's like, okay, so you took Jordan Love, you idiots. It's like, I want out of here, and I want it on my terms. And so he didn't get all of his terms because I think he would have preferred to go to Denver this year, but that wasn't going to work out. And instead of losing $35.3 million by sitting out the season, you know, now he gets a chance to know he's going someplace else, and he's going to have a voice where he's going to go. And there was talk all through the offseason, you know, that they almost worked out a deal with Denver before the draft, and then they pulled it back, and that angered Aaron. And so it's like there's so much bitterness right now. And even I know that today, you know, a lot of it had to be because they had the shareholders meeting and all those different things. And, you know, they kept on trying to say the right things that we want Aaron for this year and beyond. And, you know, it's like Mark Murphy, who's been a little bit too blunt during this time, said, yeah, I think you can put some blame on both sides. And of course, I'm sure that didn't go over very well. But in the end, it's like, you know, Aaron's serving out his last year in Green Bay and is ready to move on.
All right, John, you think we're going to have any of that kind of drama? I'm sure it won't be anywhere near that and not as long. But as far as Jamal Adams goes, we were talking, you know, I saw today the contract that Jonathan Allen signed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, it's $18 million
right
per year for a D tackle. And if you're Jamal Adams, you're probably thinking, hey, I can see if it's, you know, Chase Young and it's a defensive end. This is an interior guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he gets a good amount of sacks, you know, 8, 9, 7, but man, that is a lot of money for a defensive tackle. And I was just, you know, asking Bob, hey, if you're on a playground and you're picking teams and those two guys are side by side, you're taking Jamal Adams. He's a much more impact player.
Well, I mean, what, Chris Jones got over $20 million as a defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, he's got the stinky hands because he you know, doesn't take his gloves off, and, you know, he smells like a skunk out there on the field.
You could smell him from where you were walking.
Yeah, you could pretty well smell him, yeah, but, you know, he's got that skunk smell to him,
but man,
they paid him, you know, $20 million, but, you know, if you're going to be Jamal Adams, you're not going to jump the Seahawks are going to let him jump the safety number by almost $3 million. I don't even see him paying him 17. Now, again, if they pay him 17, you know, maybe what they do is they backload the contract and take away some guarantees and stuff like that so that they have a little bit more control. But in the end, I think that he's going to get somewhere in the 16s, and I think that's fair. It looks like he is going to report tomorrow. We'll find out for sure maybe around this time if he did. And I think there's optimism that even though people were saying it's close, it's not close, it's not close, it's close. I think something could get done by the weekend.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. If you guys have questions for John Clayton, you can text those in right now. John, 10 women have now filed complaints with the Houston Police Department about Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Now, he's reported to camp. 8 of those 10 are amongst the 22 who have lawsuits filed against him. 2 of those 8 are not. So you got this is a convoluted thing, and I know he reported to camp to avoid the fines, but he still want, you know, according to everybody, he still wants out of there, does not want to play there. Is he going to play anywhere? I know the league's doing their investigation. He's not supposed to be deposed until February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like there's going to be any resolution one way or the other between now and then unless he settles with everybody. But what does his season look like this year? Is he going to play anywhere?
I think he is, because what you're looking at is that, you know, again, we'll see if the police do anything, because if the police do anything, then all of a sudden it could be player conduct and he's going to be out for a long period of time this year. But the thought is, if it's just going to stay in the legal system and not go to the police and with a formal charge, then what will end up happening is that, you know, I don't see anything happening until next year, because I think the league, even though they didn't do it with Ben Roethlisberger, they suspended him for 6, cut it down to 4 for an incident with a Georgia girl in 2011, you know, I kind of get the feeling this case is not going to be, the cases aren't even going to be heard until May to June in July at the earliest. And so it's like, you know, I think that the player conduct thing could go next year. And I think even though it's some, you know, again, as Dave and I always tend to agree. You can never guess what Roger Goodell is going to do as far as suspensions and penalties and things of that nature.
Well, I've seen stories about he could be placed on paid leave.
That's the commissioner exemplist.
Okay, so he'd get his... So in a way, wouldn't that be more beneficial for him? Because if he was going to hold out and not play for the Texans because he wants to be traded, he's not getting paid versus... He's still not playing for the Texans if he's on administrative leave, but he's getting paid.
Yeah, but I think what ended up happening is that he caught word, or they told him, it's like, okay, we said we were not going to trade you, but we were talking to teams right before the draft about seeing what you'd be able to offer. And, of course, what Houston wants is the equivalent of like 3 number one picks and 2 good starters, mostly on defense. And so, I don't know, because one thing that you cannot do in the National Football League is go to a third year on first-round picks. So what happens now is that one team that can do it and one team that's interested, and this may be the team he can go to this year and play this year, is the Philadelphia Eagles. Because remember, the Eagles were involved in that three-way trade with Miami and San Francisco, and they got an extra first-round pick next year. Then, even though they got a low pick this year, they traded Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, and they got a number two, where if Wentz ends up having a good season, it could turn into a number one. So that's the one team that could give the 3 first-round picks and, take your choice. I mean, they can, give them Darius Slay, maybe give them one of their defensive linemen, and that could work. And then he'd have a chance to play this year. And then, Philadelphia, as bad as they are supposed to be this year, could be a little bit more of a factor.
Really a bummer for Frank Reich. He gets a positive COVID test, and then, all of a sudden, I mean, and look, you go through the whole last year. It was much less safe last year. And now there are vaccines, and they know more about it and everything. And then he gets tested positive. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for him, but, I just wonder, if this is going to be an outlier. I just hope that, maybe they find a different way to get around it, you think, John? Because he's been fully vaccinated. I don't know. I really feel bad for him just not being able to spend the time with his team.
Yeah, agreed. And, like even today on the waiver wire, I think there was 3 or 4 guys on the COVID-19 list. And I think we're close to like 13 to 14 right now that are on the COVID list. I mean, Jacksonville has 4, and now you got Indianapolis with 1 with Frank Reich. And so, it's like, and you don't know. And again, like the players are complaining about, it's like, hey, see, we got guys who are vaccinated getting the positive test, so I'm not going to get the test. I'm not going to get the shot. I'm not going to get the vaccine, which, of course, I think is not right, because I think, just get the shot. Just take it, right? And so, you protect your teammates. You're not going to be ostracized. I mean, I know, for example, just talking to somebody yesterday in Buffalo, Jerry Hughes, a defensive end, just absolutely ripped Cole Beasley for the stance he's taking on the vaccine. And you could see internally, there's going to be problems with this. I mean, fortunately, from the Seahawks standpoint, I know they're over 90% as far as their vaccines, and my guess is they're going to be pretty close to getting it all done in the next few days if they haven't got it done yet. But overall, I think what you're looking at is that, I think the league needs to continue to press, and get more getting vaccinated.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll try to get to some of your questions here in just a moment. Quickly, John, Chandler Jones apparently unhappy with what's happening in Arizona, wants to be traded. What's the likelihood he does get traded, and if so, where does he go?
Good question, because, again, you think he's going to be so popular. A lot of people, I know back in Baltimore, you got players tweeting out they want him. They're hoping that Baltimore, because, again, you figure if you do trade him, because, again, he's been the best sacker since, the last 7 years or so, is that you want to trade him into the AFC and not have him in the NFC to come back to haunt you. So, I mean, my guess, he's going to hold out, and, they'll still probably not want to trade him, but, he's upset. And, he's upset in two ways. He's upset with the contract that they gave J.J. Watt. He's upset with the contract that DeAndre Hopkins got. And he's upset that they haven't upped his contract when he thinks he needs it. And so it's a bad situation. But what are you going to do? You got to see if he shows up first. And if he doesn't, then he's going to be fined. He's going to lose $50,000 a day. And how long he takes it will determine if they're going to trade him or not trade him.
All right, John, another question from a texter, and I would answer this one. Most overrated team. I think my answer would be the Rams. I mean, they've lost quite a bit. And, you know, you're putting a lot.
A great Matt Stafford with them now.
Yeah, see, they're putting a lot into Matt Stafford, and I feel like. And you've got some pretty significant losses there. You still got Aaron Donald. You still got Jalen Ramsey. You know, they lost Cam Akers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, I don't know. Can you think of any other ones? Maybe a little overhyped. I know a lot of people are jumping on the Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm-hmm. I would jump on them. I think they're a sleeper team.
Yeah, I think they're legit, and they're talking about overrated. But yeah, to me, I think the Rams probably fill that bill.
Yeah, I look at New Orleans because again, it's like some people are thinking they're still up to being a playoff team because Sean Payton's there as the coach. But I mean, you know, once they lost their best receiver and probably their only wide receiver in Michael Thomas. But overall, they've lost. You know, they start the season out because Onyeka. The defensive tackle is going to miss 6 games with a suspension. And so they're down, opening the season up, down 11 starters. 11 starters. Think about that. And, of course, they lose Drew Brees. Now they lose Michael Thomas for 4 months. I mean, I think that, you know, they get hyped up because Sean Payton's such a good coach. But how much can Sean Payton do? I don't know if it's still going to be – I think it's going to be Jameis Winston at quarterback over Taysom Hill. But if it's Taysom Hill, I mean, I think they're going to really struggle to win. So I think that team gets a little bit overhyped. And you kind of wonder – even though it's pretty tight, I think, right now for talent between Indianapolis and Tennessee, the Tennessee might be a little bit overhyped.
360 says Cowboys. I think somebody says that every year.
Yeah.
Aren't the Cowboys always overhyped?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's the Cowboys. It's America's team.
Jerry Jones.
And although Jerry didn't predict Super Bowl this year, which I guess is kind of wise. But, yeah, I think that they do tend to get overhyped. And, you know, it's one where – but, again – It depends on their defense. And you got Dan Quinn there trying to fix up the defense with Chris Richard in the backfield. And so that might make things good there. But you know they're going to be good on offense. I mean, Dak Prescott's back and he's full-time and he's healthy. They've got 3 really good receivers. Their offensive line should be as good. It's still young enough to be good. So, it may not be a hype-up compared to teams like Seattle and Green Bay with Rodgers back and some of the other teams. But, again, in that division, I mean, it's basically Dallas and Washington and nobody else.
John, the 509 says, can you ask the professor, are the Cleveland Browns good enough to win the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield, or is he the weak link on an otherwise excellent roster? Is Baker today and always a C quarterback?
I think he's a B-minus right now, but good enough to win the Super Bowl? No. I still remember last year, everybody was hyping up in Cleveland. If you said Cleveland wasn't going to the Super Bowl, I mean, they wanted to dunk you in Lake Erie and have you getting bitten by some kind of a fish.
A freshwater shark?
Yeah, a freshwater shark. I mean, so it's like, because you're saying that they're not going to go to the Super Bowl? No, they're not. And they're not going to go this year. I think they have a good chance to win the division. I think they can win a playoff game. But what's going to end up happening is that who's going to win a game that's going to go, let's say, Patrick Mahomes going up against Baker Mayfield? Mahomes. Who's going to win a game between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield? Josh Allen. And then we'll see if the Chargers can make it with Justin Herbert. I mean, there's so many good young quarterbacks in the AFC, and obviously Baker Mayfield came on toward the end of the season, but I think what happens now, you know, because what made him so good this past year were the players around him. And, you know, the 2 running backs are good. They've got good tight ends. They've got good receivers. And so I think, you know, the surrounding talent, but then what happens once you get into the playoffs, the better quarterback usually wins.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by him, though, Baker Mayfield, at the end of the year. Yeah,
and his commercials. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, just the commercials. But also, I think they had the number 3 run game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's huge. We won't say who was carrying the ball, okay?
Hey, by the way,
Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought we weren't going to say it, man.
I didn't think John was. You know, I knew John didn't know that. No, I knew he.
No,
knew
I know. I knew.
I knew you knew that.
John. I knew. I also know that Seattle liked him a lot.
Yeah,
well, not enough.
But they
apparently
didn't take him.
No, they took Rashad Penny.
Yes, they did. Yeah,
still hurts to hear that.
That one hurts.
Yeah, sorry about
Who's
that.
Who's the leading rusher at the end of the season, John? For the Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, come on, it's Chris Carson.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't stay healthy, John.
Let's see if he does. I mean, yeah. He's saying he's not going to try to do any vaults or any flips or anything like that, and you know, maybe try to be a little less physical. Hey, by the way, from what I hear, this goes back to Aaron Rodgers, you know, you kind of get the feeling that him going back now confirms he's not going to get Jeopardy.
Oh.
Yeah, and the reason I say that, there's the rumor out this week that by the end of the week, they're going to announce who's going to be the full-time host in Jeopardy. And so, you know, and it could be, you know, the champ coming from Seattle.
Oh, who, Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings, yeah, he very well could be him. But I think that from what I hear, because remember, they got to start taping here sometime in mid-August or early August to start getting their shows together. And so it's like for the fall. So, yeah, it's supposed to be the announcement toward the end of the week. And I think that pretty well confirms with Aaron going back to the Packers that it's not going to be him.
I thought I read that. Is it LeVar Burton doing it this week?
He's doing it this week.
Yeah, I thought I saw that headline somewhere.
Yeah, who does Pat like?
What's that?
Who does Pat like as the Jeopardy host?
I don't know. I've not asked her.
Jennings?
I don't know.
All she does is express her dislike for Aaron Rodgers.
That's correct.
Well,
yes.
John, you need to get to the bottom of that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow about it.
Yeah, okay. Tomorrow we'll talk about who it is she likes. We know she dislikes Aaron. Who does she like? Who does she, if she's making the choice, who gets that gig?
And that makes us like Pat.
There you go.
Yeah. As if we didn't already, that she doesn't like Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
I like Aaron Rodgers.
I like him, too. I'm fine with him.
Take that, Dave.
I'm with Pat on this one. All right.
John, we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Trades are happening around baseball, but would you trade the future for a shot at the present? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, we are going to get a closer look at what's going on with this Cardinals team. We brought it up with John Clayton that Chandler Jones wants out of Arizona, so we'll get into that. What kind of team are we going to be facing this year in Kyler Murray and the crew? So that's coming up at 5 o'clock. Then we'll talk some more Mariner baseball at 5:30. Is Daniel Kramer, beat writer for MLB.com, covers the Mariners, does a great job with that, will join us. And speaking of the Mariners, as we get to this time of year, trades, we've talked about it. We're seeing trades. We're hearing rumors of all these different trades. This is, you know, the Padres, they get second baseman Adam Frazier. That's a guy that, you know, again, people, they weren't, I didn't see anything that connected him to the Mariners. I just saw a lot of people saying this is the kind of guy they need to go get. It was pretty well known he was out there to be had, and this would address, you know, some of what Jerry wanted to accomplish with a second baseman and what have you. But he ends up going to the Padres for three prospects. Leads Major League Baseball in hits, second in the National League in batting average at .324. He's under contract until 2022. I'm trying to think of what the tolerance is for fans, because right now you've got one of the best minor league systems in all of baseball still. You're going to have, if you want big, you want a big name, you're going to give up something. You might give up Kirby. You might give up Hancock. You might give up somebody we've been mentioning over and over and over. Trying to figure out what the tolerance is for that, because you're not getting something for nothing. That's not how this works. So it's there's going to be a reluctance, I think, for some out there going, ooh, you really want to give up and throw in any prospect? Julio Rodriguez. I don't think they would trade him, but just hypothetically. Are we ready for that? Are we ready? I've always said, man, I will take the proven commodity.
Yeah.
Somebody who has absolutely done it at a high level, at this level, over this guy may or may not. This guy is not proven. You have no idea. We project this guy to be a star. This guy's going to be a stud. This guy's going to be a stud. But we know the bust rate as well in baseball. So where do you fall on that? If you're talking about making this team better, not just for this year. I don't want to give up the future for this year. I want him to make a run. I want him to commit. But I also want whoever they commit to be here. This is they're the plan for this year and next year and the year after. They're part of our move forward. They're not here just for this year's run.
Yeah, I would hate to see them. Look, you spent all this time building up your farm system and in becoming the, you know, according to a lot of sources, the third best farm team in all of Major League Baseball. So why would you, you know, you're, what are we, 8 games above .500,
yep.
which is weird to say because I didn't think after 100 games.
Best they've been all year.
Yeah.
Record-wise.
I mean, and remember at the beginning of the year, I predicted there were going to be 5 games over, I think
86
wins, something like that. And now they're 8. But I really would hate to see them trade away those guys that they have brought up and are, you know, the future of this team for something that's just kind of a stopgap now.
And yeah, no stopgaps. That yeah. can be part of it.
Well, and I think, you know, that's probably pretty well understood. I mean, that's probably a pretty basic way to look at it because, you know, most people know that it's not going to be – if they sign something, it's going to be for like a multi-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if they did, I would like to see pitching. But, I mean, the way it worked out, it's worked out so far for Logan Gilbert. You know, I'd hate to see him trade Hancock or Kirby, you know. It's worked out really well. But, yeah, I don't know why you would do that. You know, why would you build up this farm system over all these years and then trade everything away? You know,
well, won't trade. Part of the reason to accumulate all these prospects is to use them as capital.
Yeah,
is to use them. You know, Tampa Bay has done. All these teams have done it. Who are sitting in that spot of having these, you know, talent rich farm systems? They trade away guys. It's part of, hey, yeah, we've got these young guys, but we want to supplement it with some veteran guys who are going to be here for a while. They're not old, maybe they're, you know, 29, maybe they're 30, you know, but it's used for both. Yeah, we're going to bring these guys up. They're going to be part of our future, but we're also going to use them as capital because they do have appeal. They do have a reputation. They do have expectations attached to them. So somebody's willing to take that gamble. I'm going to give you a guy now who I know can play at this level. It's an all-star at this level, what have you, but he's expensive. And I'm going to take a risk that the guy you're going to give me in exchange, I'm going to have under club control for X amount of years at a reasonable price, and he's going to turn into a star. It's a gamble.
Yeah. And guys like Hosmer and Manny Machado and Frazier, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way the Padres are doing it, and they're making their big push right now. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, though. I mean, it's same thing in the NFL. The proven commodity, the bird in the hand versus two in the bush every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time. So,
but we've gotten so used to saying these names over and over, whether it's, you know, I brought up Hancock and listen, I'm not saying they're trading any of these guys. I'm just talking about if we're going after a big ticket player, if you will. I'm not talking about for a fourth starter or something like that. You're not giving away, you know, Julio Rodriguez or Kirby or Hancock for somebody like that. But if they were in the mix for somebody, you know, throw out any name you want, somebody who's considered an A-level trade or A-level, you know, free agent to be here, what have you, just some top-level, top-shelf talent, you're going to have to give something up. And something that somebody that we've either gotten attached to at this level or, you know, if it's Mitch Haniger and, you know, one of these prospects that we've been talking about, saying their names over and over, I could see people sort of bristle at that, like, oh, boy. Now, first of all, I don't want to trade anybody that's truly contributing to the roster right now. I don't want to trade Mitch Haniger. He's your best all-around player still to this day. He's, you know, if you're just talking about offense, defense, running, throwing, hitting for power, hitting for average, what have you, he is still your best player, and I think he's got way more value to you than he does to somebody else. I don't think you're going to get back in exchange for Mitch Haniger what he brings to the table.
It's funny, people are texting in about, you know, that if you trade any of these guys, they're going to be all-stars within 2 or 3
That's
years.
That's what it feels like. That's what it feels. I get it, but those...
Well, look at the all-star game. All the former Mariners.
Yeah. It's I mean, it's a gamble. It just is. Yeah. But that is part of developing your farm system and having that level of depth and saying, okay, we've got a lot of outfielders. We've got a lot coming up. We've got Julio. We've got Trammell. We've got Kelnick. We've got all these people. Yeah, we've got a surplus, and maybe we can trade one of those away. Maybe it's Trammell. Maybe who knows, you know, how they feel about each one. But somebody that we've been talking about a lot could be on their way out. That's my point, and that's part of developing that system is having that ability. Hey, we are now in a position because of the way we've developed our minor league team, we can acquire player A here from this team, the starting pitcher who's going to help us this year and years to come.
Yeah, it would be so interesting if all of a sudden they just traded away Julio, like you said, Julio Rodriguez or the kid Marte, you know.
Yeah, Noelvi Marte.
Yeah, one of those guys. And just, but you know what? If it gets you a guy like Frazier or the guys we're talking about, proven that still have, you know, 3, 4, 5 years left in them, you could sign them to a 2 to 3, 4 year deal. Yeah, that'd be a pretty good use of those chips.
Yeah, we'll talk to Daniel Kramer about that. He'll join us at 5:30. We'll get his take on that and the reality of it, and who's out there and who they could realistically be looking at. Coming up, which Rams coach thinks Jacoby Brissett is better than Russell Wilson? Ugh. Hear about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
There's a lot of NFL news over the weekend. This had to be one of the stranger stories. Andy Benoit, who wrote for Sports Illustrated and a couple of other publications, writes about the NFL. He was hired as a Rams assistant coach by Sean McVay. He also had this interesting take comparing Russell Wilson and Jacoby Brissett a couple of years ago.
If you're factoring in price, I am without question. I mean, like I am doing Jacoby Brissett, especially if I can get something for Russell Wilson, which we're going to dive into. But if it's just even head-to-head, Jacoby Brissett for, what, $10, $12 million a year maybe for the first couple years versus Russell Wilson at $30-plus million a year, I'm taking Jacoby Brissett, and I'm going home early because I didn't have to spend much time on that decision.
So I get it. He's there to make everybody else feel smarter since he's a dimwit.
This guy's a genius.
What is that? Is that just a way, hey, look, I'm going to get some attention by saying something crazy?
Well, the parts that's mystifying to me is, what is Sean McVay doing with him? What does he do for them? He hired him.
Makes him feel smart.
He didn't mean a coach, did he?
Yeah, he is a Rams assistant coach, and he has an emphasis on special projects.
Special?
Yeah,
what does that
literally
mean?
The title.
Like fingerprint painting or, you know, clay.
Special projects.
Activity time.
Activities.
Just tell him don't eat the glue.
Man, that's bizarre. I'm more than what he said, because, yeah, a lot of times, you know, I don't know, is he trying to be Peter Brand, maybe? You know, the kid who was in Moneyball, you know, guy... assistant for Billy Beane.
He's got
economics major.
Yeah, he's come out of Harvard.
I mean, and, you know, maybe he thinks out of the box, or I don't know. But I'm just.
I mean, to make it sound like such a no brainer, like I'm going home early because I didn't have to spend time thinking about it. Really, I would hope you'd put a little more thought into it, because when you say it out loud, it sounds kind of dumb.
Well, and this was from a couple years ago.
This was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
2019.
You think he still feels that way?
I don't see how.
I bet he's not backing off of it.
Well, I mean, they should have brought him in rather than Matthew Stafford.
I'm glad he's on their staff and not the Seahawks staff.
Yeah, and once again, this is why we're talking about the Rams possibly being overrated. You know, the way they're talking about them, the coaching losses. So they lose a guy like Staley, and then they gain this guy.
Wow.
Sweeping the dial.
I'm almost too excited to play this one. So Trevor Lawrence is the presumptive starter in Jacksonville, but don't tell that to Gardner Minshew, who's taking drastic measures to avoid being number two on the depth chart.
I'll tell you this, man, in preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a in weeks. It's not an option for me. Number two is not an option. I'll tell you that.
I'll give him credit. He's an entertaining guy. I like Minshew. He has fun. He hasn't gone doo-doo in weeks because number two is not an option for him.
That's pretty funny.
Is that an old saying? I've never heard that one.
Never heard it.
That's pretty funny.
No, I think it's a Coug thing.
Is it a Coug thing? I mean, he was walking around with the mullet before. Apparently, it's become a thing now that a lot of guys have, which I still don't quite get. But anyway, he was doing that, you know, the jean shorts and everything. He's a goofy guy, and he plays pretty well. I don't think I'm building my franchise around Gardner Minshew, but I certainly would not mind having him on the roster. And I like the competitive spirit that, hey, I'm number one here.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be good for this kid, you know, coming in, trying to learn the ropes. So I think everybody loves him. He's become like a kind of a cult hero a little bit. Is the mullet, text it in to 710-710, is the mullet coming back in a legitimate way, or are people just doing it to be, like you said, ironic?
I thought they were. I saw a lot of it over the weekend, and not just at the MMA event. I've seen it just elsewhere, and we see a guy in our newsroom that's got one going now, and I don't understand it. At first, I thought people were losing bets, but apparently it's becoming a thing again. I don't know.
Do you think these are single people? Does their significant other
sign
approve?
Off on it? I don't know.
I mean, I'm thinking they're single. That is not a good look. The mullet. Now, some of them are more subtle than others.
Yeah.
Some of the ones with the shaved and then
the really long in the back and the business up front. Yeah. Somebody at 206 says, yes, mullet is back. At home COVID haircuts. Is that why? Did people start doing that to be funny and now it's just caught on as a thing? Because I've seen it just being out in a restaurant or seeing it, people just walking down the street like, what is going on here? This is becoming really, really much more of a common thing.
Well, you see the beard, the big heavy beard like Gallant's got going is really in vogue right now because of the whole COVID thing. I saw a guy walking around here in the back and I was like, Bob, come here. You got to see this guy. And I think he already went in the studio.
Oh.
But oh my gosh, his beard must have been like 2 feet long.
It's like ZZ Top.
And he also had the huge gut with a white t-shirt that didn't cover the entire gut. So I was like, man, COVID ate you up. Yeah, the long hair going.
People say making fun of younger people's hairstyles. Who said they were younger? I've seen a lot of guys that look like they're older than I am that are sporting a mullet. It's got nothing to do with age. It just seems like it's becoming a thing again.
Yes, Boz did have a mullet. That basically was a mullet, right? What Bosworth had? Shaved it on the sides.
Kind of a
put the
mohawk
in.
on some level. It was sort of a hybrid mullet.
I had a buddy in college that shaved a mohawk in. It was so ugly. Oh, man.
The mohawk?
He looked terrible. It was like about, I don't know, 2.5-3 inches wide, right down the middle. He had big, thick, dark hair, and then just shaved on the side, looked like a psychopath.
I think I'd rather have
a linebacker, of course.
I think I'd rather have a mohawk than a mullet, though.
I thought we were done on that. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, not to interrupt this conversation, but...
Mohawk or mullet? That's a great question, Bob. Text it in. 710-710.
What would you go with before you hit the next one?
Mohawk or mullet? I go mohawk.
What about you, Dave?
The mohawk was so ugly, man. I'm telling you. It was
But there's some attitude to it. It's... the mullet. Just
I'm going mullet.
Oh,
I'm going mullet.
I'm going mohawk.
I like the mohawk attitude. I'm with you on that.
What? Psychotic?
You mean business. You're no party. Just business. No party
All
in the
business.
Back.
I got you.
So Dan Graziano kind of explaining what John Clayton said, that Deshaun Watson, he's not going to see any disciplinary action from the commissioner. And if he does, it won't be until the regular season because of the way the exemption works.
The commissioner's exempt list historically has been used during the regular season because it's paid leave. And these guys don't get paid until the regular season. So by putting him on commissioner's exempt now, you're really just removing him from their training camp. But, you know, it effectively is a suspension. So I think the players' union and Deshaun Watson's representation would push back against the idea of an indefinite suspension.
For sure.
So I think that the commissioner's office has been loath to use the commissioner's exempt list outside of the regular season.
This is such a convoluted situation. If you read this story about when depositions are going to take place and when it's – he's not supposed to be deposed until February of next year. I don't know how this is going to play out. I find it hard to believe that they are going to get anything close to what they were initially asking in exchange for him if they still are trying to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
If it was three first, let's say, and I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if that was the asking price, how could that possibly be the asking price now? When you're not even sure if this guy's going to be able to play past next year, what's going to happen if he turns out he's guilty of these things and he's arrested or he serves time or he's suspended by the league? There's no way that asking price could be the same.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking from Goodell's standpoint. Now, look, you don't want to rush to judgment. You want him to have, you know, a fair and speedy trial and everything. But, I mean, there is an overwhelming number of accusers, number one.
22.
Number two is that if you're Roger Goodell and you do just let him play and then this thing gets, you know, played out later on and you let him out there, he's out there representing your league.
Yeah, protect the shield, Dave.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, I wonder, that I'm very interested to see what happened. The whole thing I've kind of tried to not even think about just because when you read the details of it, it's so...
Well, there's a lot going
disturbing.
On. Well, yeah, what he's accused of is disturbing, but just how, you know, the dates of this is going to happen and this they're going to make their statements here and this many women have been deposed, these many have not. I mean, there's just so much attached to it that it's hard to, you're going, okay, so what does this ultimately mean? Is he playing? Is he not playing? Is he going to be on the list? Is he not on the list? Is he going to jail? Is he not? I mean, it's just this whole thing is very, very convoluted. So we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, we brought this up earlier. We're going to get into details with what's going on with the Cardinals. Their sideline reporter, Paul Calvisi, will join us for the latest on Chandler Jones and everything going on with the Cardinals next. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.